from theunce.com. This is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Dimitri Vegas, who along with his brother, Like Mike, have taken the worlds of house and electro by storm in just the past 2 years. Known for high-profile remixes of major players like Tiësto, Snoop Dogg, and Lady Gaga, among others, Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike have taken on the role of penning the anthem for one of the biggest EDM festivals in the world, Tomorrowland, in their native Belgium. They're in New York at Lavo tonight, and then they hop on the Dead Meat Tour with Steve Aoki and Datsik tomorrow night in Seattle and stay on for a string of 6 consecutive dates. This episode of the Unce Podcast is sponsored by Lift Festival, going down March 16th and 17th in Whaleback Mountain, New Hampshire. Performers include Ghostland Observatory, Conspirator, Paper Diamond, Orchard Lounge, Break Science, Alpha Data, and more. And you can still enter to win free tickets at theunce.com/contests until tomorrow at midnight PST. Okay, let's get to the interview. Let's start off by talking about Mr. Steve Aoki. That's got to be a thrill when one of the biggest DJs in North America and the head of a label that you released your Stomp EP on calls you up and says, hey, I want you to join my massive tour.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. I mean, we're really looking forward to that. It was a big surprise and a very nice surprise. So I think we're in for some crazy weeks. And even after that, we're doing LED Festival together with him. Plus, he's coming to Belgium, I think, in like a month or something, and we're joining him here too, so that's really great.
That's fantastic. Do you feel like you're finally building up your name outside of Europe, crossing over into America?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, for the last year, it's just been going crazier and crazier, and if I see the lineup of the festivals and shows we're doing now in the next year, I couldn't have dreamt it.
And it certainly must be a thrill to land on the DJ Mag Top 100 list just only a couple of years after this project officially took off.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about a surprise, no, that was a surprise. No, we were really happy with that. We didn't expect that. So and it kind of raised the bar for us this year. Because, we have to make sure that next year, this year, we're in there again.
Were you doing any campaigning to get into the top 100? Did you have any idea that you might be able to build up enough popularity that your fan base might be able to push you over the edge?
I don't know. We posted a video, and that had quite some views, but nothing overwhelming. But our Facebook fan page did exponentially grow. So I think before the summer last year, we had like 15,000 followers. And by the end, of last year, I think we were onto 200,000, 250,000. And now we're March, and we just crossed the 400,000 followers.
So sure, that's sure.
A lot of new followers, so I'm guessing a lot of them voted for us.
Absolutely. So you can point to that video specifically as being the reason that you hit that exponential growth, or was it just finding your sound or you know, really settling into what it is that the Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike sound really is?
To be honest, I can't really pinpoint it. I mean, the only thing that I see is that at that point we were like really gaining a lot of Facebook fans, so yeah, we must have done something right.
Madagascar from Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike on the Unce Podcast. Don't touch it. Let's switch gears. This Derek Van Scoten remix of Loyal Divide's Vision Vision premiered this week on Fresh Beats from theunce.com. It must be just amazing to be able to do this with your brother. Tell me, when you were kids, did you try and start a band together? Has music always been something that you two have shared?
No, absolutely not. Even as kids, we didn't really hang out that much. It's actually only when I was living in Ibiza, and my brother, he moved over there when he was about 16. That's when we actually only really started hanging out.
What were you doing specifically to get into electronic music as a kid? Were you going to the clubs, and is that how your brother sort of followed your path into this lifestyle?
It's actually a long story. I mean, I started DJing when I was about 13, and I think I was already DJing like in Belgium, like in local clubs and parties before I was legally allowed to enter the clubs.
Sure.
But then to get onto the next level, I knew that I had to go to Ibiza or to like to other countries. So I took a job in the daytime, like to work in hotels, in entertainment. And mm-hmm. in the night, I would DJ then in small clubs. Like I started in Mallorca, I ended up in Ibiza, I did Greece, I did the Canarian Islands. And at a certain point, Mike also just kind of felt like, fuck Belgium. And he followed me there, and we kind of traveled around Europe. He wasn't DJing at that point. He was more into hip-hop, but then after spending, like, also 2 years in Ibiza, he completely turned around, and then, at a certain point, we decided to start working together.
Sure, sure. You were both born in Greece and then later moved to Belgium. What is the kind of scene between both being in Greece and being in Belgium that even introduced you to electronic music and DJing?
To be honest, we don't really have that much connection in Greece because we didn't really grow up in Greece. And mm-hmm. as far as I know, like all the summers we spent there, there wasn't really a house music culture present. And now the last years, it's coming up. But even the year that I was working there, and that was in Zante, one of the party islands, like mm-hmm. all the house music they would be playing would be very commercial. And even though most of the music they'd be playing would be hip-hop and R&B. But that's like 6 years ago. So I'm uh-huh. thinking now things changed even there.
I got to imagine, I mean, Ibiza has such a reputation for drawing some of the biggest stars and the biggest names. How were you able to work your way up in a system that is just completely overflowing with talent? Were you meeting the right promoters and just working every angle you could get? Or I can't imagine trying to build your name in a place that's getting these huge DJs at all times flying in from all around the world.
Yeah, well, we started doing a lot of small clubs, and then actually we got to a certain level that we were like, yeah, okay, if we really want to make it, we have to start producing music. And it's actually only after a couple of tracks that got picked up by a couple of the big DJs that, we kind of took it to the next level, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, before a Steve Aoki or before an Axwell or Sebastian Ingrosso hears your music, how do you get it out there? How do you this program caters to a lot of young producers and people really working their way up through the system. So, you know, how do you, when you first start producing, get your tracks in front of the right people?
I think back then it might have been a bit easier than now, I think. It's a tough question to answer, actually, because I don't really know exactly how they got into the hands of those DJs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we were able to. There wasn't any Twitter then. I think Facebook was just starting. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it just happened through the labels, and just now at this point, I think it's even harder because there's so many people making music, even I think more than 6 years ago, and I'm afraid to open my demo box because there's just so many tracks in there. And I mean, I can imagine, like, for guys like Axwell and Tiesto, that's even like so to get picked out of that bunch, I don't think it's easy. The only thing I would say that it's very important that you make sure that you deliver quality stuff, because if you have the chance that a DJ says, like, okay, I'm in a good mood, let me check that promo, and he sees your name and he checks that promo and the promo is crap, then the chance that he will ever check a promo on the same name again might be very small.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Make a good first impression.
Yeah, exactly.
So I wonder, when your brother moved to Ibiza and was seeing you playing out at clubs and moving from the hip-hop world to the house and electro scene, what was it that he brought to the table when it was the two of you working together? You know, obviously the success you've had is because you've come together and you've collaborated. How does he help you in the studio, or how do you help each other or guide a DJ set? I wonder what that relationship is like in the studio, on stage, and it's got to be complicated by the fact that you're brothers, so you're going to be prone to disagreements, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to sugarcoat it. You could, you know, scream and yell at him if you need to.
Yeah, that happens every now and then, yeah. Well, actually, the way it started was at a certain point I was DJing in a club, and Mike came in, and yeah, he was pretty drunk, and so was I, and at a certain point he started rapping over a couple of my beats, and the crowd, they just really loved it, and at that point we were like, hey, we're onto something, and that's kind of how the idea grew, so that's how our set is today. I mean, I'm the DJ, he's the MC, so that's how it works life-wise, and in the studio, generally, we each have our own studio. Mike would start a track, and he's got, like, loads of ideas, and he'll send them over to me, and I'll kind of pick out, like, okay, I like this, I think we can work on that, and I kind of build tracks from that, or sometimes it's the other way around. But generally, Mike is, like, the creative person who, like, just throws in a lot of ideas, and I'm the more functional guy who picks out of those ideas the tracks that could work on the dance floor and finish them.
We're going to move away from Dimitri Vegas for a minute. Here's Chicago-based producer Stratus with his original track, Radiation. He's hitting the Congress Theater on Saturday, March 31st with Feed Me, Scream, and Benga.
Everywhere I go, everywhere that I've been, the only thing I see is beautiful people. 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 Beautiful people.
Running this shit, and I need y'all in the party to feel that. Till the end, we be up in a place called Tomorrowland. Now
come on,
check for yourself and you'll understand.
Come on,
only one place like Tomorrowland.
Come on,
reach for the moment, throw up your hands.
Come on, come on, come on,
throw up your hands.
Tomorrowland anthem from Afrojack, Nervo, and my guest, Dimitri Vegas.
You've been tapped by huge artists, Pitbull, Jennifer Lopez, LMFAO. Why do you feel like they're geared towards you specifically? What is it about you? You know, you've obviously gained such a reputation in the industry for precision and great production skills. What do you think it is specifically that's really drawing the artist to you? I know it's odd to talk about what you're good at, but you know, if you can put modesty aside and tell us, you know, what you think it is that's attracting all these remix offers.
I don't know. I guess we've done a couple of pretty good remixes, and then people at a certain point must have heard them, and I maybe just said, like, hey, I want a remix like that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. You grew up on, or at least were brought into the scene and into DJing through house music. As the sound has evolved from these big artists who are known, you know, maybe primarily for house and trance, Tiesto and Swedish House Mafia, you now hear them doing a lot of electro, and that's, you know, become the norm in the scene. Tell me how electro has made its way into your sound, and maybe can you look to the future and tell me what do you see as the next step, maybe beyond electro?
It's a good question. Actually, at this point, I'm really wondering what the next big thing is going to be. I mean, you have dubstep, but that's still a different scene, you know? I mean, generally, mm-hmm. I don't really see Axwell or Tiesto or even us. I mean, every now and then I play like a couple of minutes of dubstep track in there, but I find it hard to imagine that it would ever take over our set.
Sure.
You know, so I wonder really what the next big sound for all the house electro DJs is going to be. At this point, I think it's really still a mystery. I mean, a couple of years ago, you had like Dutch coming up, but that's like, okay, that's also over. So, at this point, I really don't know. Somebody's going to come up with that track that everybody goes like, oh, that's the shit. And that guy's going to be really rich, you know,
absolutely.
But at this point, I don't know who's going to do it. I hope it does.
Yeah, I do too. So Tomorrowland was huge for you, a massive festival in your homeland. Any rumors you'd like to address or perhaps even start for this year's festival? I imagine they got to outdo themselves.
First of all, I can't really officially confirm that we're going to be there.
Okay.
So, and secondly, I think like this year Tomorrowland is going to be some next level shit, really. I think the Tomorrowland guys are really outdoing themselves, and I think like the main stage is going to be even more impressive than last year. The lineup is going to be even bigger. Yeah, I think it's just going to be crazy.
You were saying growing up, you know, there wasn't that much of a scene in Belgium. Maybe you had to, you know, go outside the country to really find what was hip and happening. Do you think Tomorrowland and ID&T are really responsible for just building a scene from the ground up right there in Belgium?
Definitely. I mean, I'm not saying that Belgium never had a scene. Belgium just had its own kind of scene. And Belgium in like the early 90s, even the late 90s, was pretty cool. You know, they were very progressive in their house music style. And a lot of countries and a big part of the world looked at Belgium because like acid and all that stuff. But then they kind of got stuck in their own world because like Belgium was full of clubs and full of resident DJs who never had to leave Belgium. And at a certain point, they just got behind, and Tomorrowland just put Belgium right back on the map.
I got you. So you had mentioned earlier when we were talking about going out on tour with Steve Aoki's Dead Meat Tour for a few dates in America. You know, tons of festivals are being announced throughout this early spring season, and I know you can't talk about a lot of them, but are there any big shows that you have confirmed that you are looking forward to in particular?
So we got Beyond Wonderland, Ultra Music Festival. We have a lot in the summer in Europe, I think. Creamfield.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah. So, and then we have a lot of others, but unfortunately, I really cannot say a lot more names.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. We don't want you getting into any trouble. You know, you've got to do so much preparation for the shows and for these important club dates, but does that leave you any time to work in the studio? I know you have your own label. You've already released tunes on Refune and Dimmock. What sort of output can you talk about? What sort of tracks, singles, remixes, whatever, do you have coming up, or have you just been focusing on just making the live show as best as it can be?
We have a couple of tracks ready. We're still working on a lot of tracks. I mean, first of all, we're working on the vocal version of our current single Momentum, which is doing really great here in Europe. I mean, it's top 10 in Belgium. It's playlisted on all the big radios. So and now we're going for a big vocal version. We have a follow-up single, which at this point is still a secret. And for the rest, yeah, we kind of plan to have an album. We have an album ready, an instrumental, so we're going to move like for 1 or 2 months to Hollywood to just record a whole lot of vocals and top lines for them. And then after that, we'll just see what goes where or if we're going to release an album. At this point, it's still a bit of a mystery even to us.
Well, that's fantastic. You keep the air of mystery, and your fans will keep tuning in. Dimitri Vegas, thanks so much for being on the Unz podcast.
You're welcome.
That's going to do it for this week's program. Special thanks go to Kat Baker with Get NPR, and of course my guest, Dimitri Vegas. You can catch Dimitri Vegas and Like Mike on the Dead Meat Tour beginning tomorrow night. They join Steve Aoki and Datsik in Seattle. You can catch them tonight at Lavo in New York if you're on the ball. Next week, we'll have Texas trance superstars Tritonal on the program. Their new remix of Can't Keep It In from Piercing the Quiet drops March 19th. Please visit theunz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review. Tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunz.com. That's A-N-A-N-D @theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.